and this is the Laura Flanders Show, a TV and radio program that shines a light on the solutions of tomorrow today. We report on the people and movements driving systemic change from the worlds of politics, arts, and entrepreneurship. Welcome. Something exciting is happening in McDowell County, West Virginia. The American Federation of Teachers is heading up a program called Reconnecting McDowell. You could call it a decade-long experiment in education-driven economic change. What happens when unions engage with a diverse group of partners to reinvigorate one of America's poorest counties from the teachers and the children on up? Thanks to the program, a new multi-story building is about to open in June 2022. In Welch, McDowell's county seat, Renaissance Village will provide teachers with much-needed local housing and mom-and-pop business owners with a new place to open stores on Main Street. All of Welch's children now have access to school-based health clinics and mental health services. Reconnecting McDowell's also helping one county school become a community hub with wraparound services for all the family. So far, the stats are looking good. High school attendance rates are up, dropout rates are down, and teen pregnancy has reportedly dropped by 30% over the last 6 years. It's the work of over 100 partners across the private and public sectors. Companies like AT&T and Frontier Cable have done their part. But for this May Day, a traditional labor holiday around the world, we focus on the AFT. The union is quite consciously reviving a labor tradition from a century ago. As you'll hear, is it a good fit for the present? How about for the future? Joining us for this episode are Harold McBride, the mayor of Welch, a former coal mine engineer, business owner, and longtime resident, and Nadia Johnson, a graduate of Broader Horizons, a Reconnecting McDowell program in Welch's Mount View High School, where she now works. She credits the program with bringing her back to her town. And to kick things off, Randy Weingarten.
When you go to Welch, or frankly, almost anywhere in West Virginia, you see these beautiful homes that were built turn of the century, or 1800s, 1900s. And then as you get closer and closer into town, you see tremendous devastation. It's as if someone had done a fire drill and everyone had left. People who had spent their lives working in coal were thrown asunder, and the town got completely betrayed and abandoned by, frankly, the coal companies. And rather than West Virginia, and frankly, America, thinking about an industrial policy to replace the jobs with the economy of today and tomorrow, you know, the market does what the market does. All of a sudden, you're not necessary anymore. You're laid off. You go, you know, you're on your own. There's a lot of the consequences that happen when economic life is betrayed, when, you know, all of a sudden the dominant industry is gone or is wiped out. So, you know, you saw income just plummet, but, you know, because of Medicare, because of Social Security, grandparents stayed.
The problems facing McDowell's remaining residents prompted the state's then First Lady to act. Gail Manchin sat on the State Board of Education. McDowell's public schools had been in state control for a decade without improvement. What was needed was a national partner to attract new energy and resources. Though teachers' unions in West Virginia lacked collective bargaining rights, teachers were motivated and organized and strong. In 2011, Gail Manchin invited Randy Weingarten of the AFT to lead a program called Reconnecting McDowell.
You know, I'm a very proud West Virginian, and McDowell County is a proud people, and they don't want a handout. They just want a helping hand to be part of the process that's going to transform their lives, their community, and their county. That is what Reconnecting McDowell is all about.
As soon as coal got cheaper in other parts of the country, the companies left. But not everybody left. People remained. Yeah. And you met with some of those people, especially teachers. What did you find they were up against? And how did you think about this commitment that you'd made to help?
They had changed, you know, superintendents any number of times. They had taken over the school district. They had tried to shake teachers up, saying test scores or else. They can't get teachers. So you fire a teacher, what do you think you're going to get, you know, in terms of the shortages? So what we came in and said was, no, let's be meaningful. Let's actually meet the needs of kids emotionally and socially. Let's create powerful instruction. Let's train the teachers. Let's actually have the kind of conditions so people will want to be there. The first thing we decided was we talked to the teachers and we talked to the paraprofessionals and we talked to the community, because so many people had overpromised and underdelivered. You know, they come in, they promise the moon, the stars, everything's going to get better. And then if it doesn't happen in 2.5 nanoseconds, they're gone. And all the money that they promised is gone as well. So we said that we needed our local union to want us to be there. And we needed the community to want us to be there. So we did a couple of community hearings and talking to, you know, the faith leaders that were still there, talking to parents that were still there, talking to the, you know, local officials that were there, the school district. And what we got to was, let's focus on academics. That's what we're really good at.
Yep.
Let's focus on well-being issues, the social, emotional, medical, healthcare, all the other attributes of what you need to do to help kids and communities and families rise. And then and we're kind of good at that. And the third thing, which we're not good at, was the economic development. Being really intentional about how do you replace coal with the economy of today and tomorrow.
Since Reconnecting McDowell began in late 2011, hundreds of residents, community groups, nonprofits, churches, businesses, and government agencies have taken part. Twice a year, Reconnecting hosts a meeting for its partners from across the state and the country at large to consider the place's most pressing needs. The teacher shortage, the transportation problems, rickety infrastructure, and poor health. Different partners take on different projects. Again, Randy Weingarten.
We built a building, and that building included 3 floors of housing and 1 floor of commercial space. You know, and what we understood, and the reason, and this was the first multiple story building in McDowell, in Welsh, in 50 years. And we built it with union labor, and we used and worked with Housing Investment Trust, which is a AFL-CIO economic engine entity. And we worked with the local town. What we saw as the through line was that teachers needed housing so that we could actually use that as a foundation to trying to spark economic development. And hopefully, now that Renaissance Village is up, now there will be others who say, okay, there's foot traffic, there's people, maybe we can have a coffee shop, maybe there can be other storefronts.
Storefront by storefront is a new approach to development in Welsh, where many of the other approaches have been tried. Harold McBride, the town's mayor, worked in the coal mines for 20 years and watched that industry decline. He's seen the place try to bring jobs by building a prison and attracting a big box store. And he's seen that store shut up and close after just 10 years. For McBride, who was born and bred here, building community holds the key. If McDowell's people can be reconnected to one another and to their potential, the Reconnecting McDowell Project will succeed.
Oh, gosh. Welsh was, as they say, a booming little place when I was a child. McDowell County had 120,000 people. Welch is the county seat of the county, so everyone came. It was a very busy little town. Unique place to grow up. Welch had two theaters themselves downtown. McDowell County in a whole had 13 total theaters around at the time.
What happened between the 1970s and now?
In 1980, when the coal industry took the downturn, I can remember one of the companies in one day laid off 1,200 people. So it's devastating to everything around it. Then back to back, we went through a couple of floods, also devastating. So a lot of people left in that time.
Now, there's lots of ways to rebuild a place economically. And McDowell, including Welch, have tried a lot of them. There's a prison. There's been a Walmart. There have been a lot of the typical efforts to bring back jobs. What's been the experience of the town, especially with those initiatives?
I think you have to back up and go a different route, okay? Before you improve, you have to have people. And one of our biggest things is housing. And reason being, most of the properties are owned by land companies, and they hold on to it pretty hard. So it's hard to go out here and find a place to start a housing development. Just like the folks, the federal prison has 600 jobs. Most of those folks commute in from neighboring counties, being the fact that we don't have housing for them. They would love to live here. They would tell you, quick, I would rather live here than commute in.
And what about the Walmart experience? You had one right there.
Yeah, it's typical. It's not enough population to sustain. So Connecting McDowell did come in, and I think they done a wonderful job trying to help. They looked outside the box and said, look, you know, maybe little Johnny's going through something at the nighttime that we don't know about. And if the teachers had a place to live here, they could be here and see that. When people see something new and something happens, then it gives them hope. We're having a coffee shop in the bottom. We're having a little pizza place in the bottom. My perspective is we have to start with the little mom and pop shop that hires two or three people. You keep that momentum going, and pretty soon you have your Toyota plant. It's large enough that you have that many people working. And that's what you just can't sit here and say, oh, gosh, I hope somebody brings us a Toyota plant. We have to get mom and pop's pizza shop going to have three people a job and keep working in that direction. This program has shown that it can be better and we can do better. So I think it has enormous impact in more ways than just with children and also with adults.
This is the Laura Flanders Show. I'm Laura. That was Harold McBride, mayor of Welch, West Virginia, the county seat of McDowell. At the top of the show, we heard from Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers, or AFT, which has been leading the Reconnecting McDowell program for the last 11 years. You're listening to our special, Beating Poverty by Investing in Teachers, a labor story for May Day. To see Welch and Randy and the new building, Renaissance Village, which opens this June, watch this show on our YouTube channel or on over 300 public television stations across the country this week. Just go to lauraflanders.org to find out how and where. And while you're there, sign up for our weekly newsletter to receive information on all of our streaming events and web exclusives, including the upcoming podcast release of the full uncut interviews from today's show. Next, we hear from Nadia Johnson, a Welch resident and former student of Mount View High School, where she was a participant in Broader Horizons, a Reconnecting McDowell program that supports building ties and creating networks within the community of McDowell. Like many of her classmates, Nadia left upon graduating in 2017, but returned to Welch to serve as Mount View High School Communities in School Coordinator. We'll hear her story next, but first, here's We Organize by The Boogie Band, featuring Joe Russo from their album Prophets in the City. Renaissance Village will open formally in June 2022, and Nadia Johnson plans to be there. She's a 2017 graduate of Mount View High School in Welch, where she is now the school's Communities in School coordinator. Familiar with the challenges facing school children raised by grandparents and the flow of young people away, Johnson left for college too, but she returned. She's a graduate of Broader Horizons, an AT&T-funded mentorship program that is another part of reconnecting McDowell.
My parents were born and raised in McDowell County, and my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was actually a coal miner. So McDowell County is definitely where I have spent majority of my life. Throughout my elementary school, middle school, and high school years, my life being raised in a two-parent household was far different than many of my peers' life. Many were raised by grandparents, and we like to call them grand families simply because we don't want them to feel any different or less than because they're being raised by their grandparents. Parents are addicted. Parents are no longer in the state, maybe incarcerated, just many different factors that influence that grandparent role taking over.
Now, when you were in school, there were lots of efforts to improve schools all around the country and there in McDowell County. And Randy Weingarten from the AFT talked to us about a few of them. She said that there'd been attempts to raise test scores and punish schools that didn't meet established testing criteria, that teachers were fired if they didn't get those scores up. Now, how is what you're doing now different from that?
First, my focus is to get the students there. I can't worry about a test score. I can't worry about how they're achieving academically or behaviorally if they're not even there. So getting them there is first. And then from there, getting them and keeping them there to keep our dropout, like it's a dropout prevention program. So we want to keep that low. We want to start early. So start with my middle schoolers, getting them to learn the importance of education now, because when they get to high school, their credits count. While in middle school, you know, you don't need those credits. You know, you can slack a little bit. In high school, if you fail a class, you're going to be a senior taking a ninth grade math class because you failed it.
After your graduation, do you know people that left from Welch, from your classmates?
A lot of people. Tons of people left. And I think that's continuous throughout the years. Everybody leaves. One foot out the door as soon as graduation happens, it's like, okay, will I go to college in West Virginia or will I go out of state? And if they choose to go to college in West Virginia, they're staying for that 4 years and then they are on a boat out of here quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Why?
Lack of resources. If you've ever been to McDowell County in West Virginia, there's not really much to do. And there's nothing there. And we had a Walmart, and I'm not too sure why Walmart left the area, but now Walmart is gone. And how many of our people are driving over an hour just to get to a Walmart? I mean, we do have some stores in Welch, but think about our smaller towns like that are further. They're either driving back to Welch or they're driving to Walmart because what they have in Welch is just not enough for other things that they need. And I think that's the biggest betrayal. I mean, we don't have any really clothing stores that our students can even get school clothes from. When Walmart was there, you know, everybody could go to Walmart with school clothes shopping. You could get your food there. It was all one trip. Now you have to go to 10 different stores or over an hour away just to get the things that you need at that time. After graduating from college, I never planned to be back and to stay. And I'm definitely glad that I am Black and that I am here working and helping those who are just like me going through the process of being in middle school and high school in McDowell County, because it's no easy feat.
Now, you learned some of this and got kind of hooked into Reconnecting McDowell through a Reconnecting McDowell program called Broader Horizons. What is Broader Horizons and what was your experience there?
Initially, when Broader Horizons came about, all I heard from previous people who were a part of it was, you get to go on a trip to Washington, D.C. And I was like, sign me up. And that's not how it worked. So we were chosen to be a part of Broader Horizons. And for me, when they first started meeting with us, it was more so no longer an organization. It was family. They met with us like we were family and they truly cared and wanted to succeed. From there, they set us up with partnerships. They gave us each a mentor that we chose to be our mentor. And from there, it was somebody following us alone. They showed us networking. They showed us all the things now that I am now using that I would have thought in high school, like, I don't need that. That's where Broader Horizons definitely stepped in.
So just to put a pin in it, Randy, for people that aren't as embedded in labor movement organizing as you are, to draw a contrast between what unions usually do and what you're doing there in West Virginia would be very helpful. Because for a lot of people, their union is a group that's elected that helps come up with a set of negotiations for their workplace, for their members and others. And that's it. Doesn't get involved in the economic development of a poor county many, many states away. Can you just talk about the model that you're creating here, whether you think it's a one-off or could be a model? And to what extent does this reflect a shift in thinking in the labor movement about what worker organizing, worker representation looks like in the 21st century?
Randy Weingarten, president of the American Federation of Teachers.
If you think about this model that we're talking about right now, this is what the ILGW did generations ago.
The Ladies' Garment Workers Union in New York.
The Ladies' Garment Workers Union, when they built housing for their members in New York City, where the Amalgamated Bank was created to be the bank for working people, where there was medical and dental facilities that workers could have. Coal Miners Union did it too. We tried to do things that helped lift up our members and their families. And when unions had that kind of density, it lifted up communities. So now, generations later, and between what the right wing has done to try to undermine unions, plus what our members need in terms of just basic, you know, wages and tools and conditions of employment, you go for what you need to do for people. We think about bargaining for the common good, and we think about what we need to do holistically to help a community rise.
Why is this different from all the other initiatives that have been tried to bring the economy back?
Harold McBride, mayor of Welch, McDowell, West Virginia.
This is about giving people a place to live and them living here, paying taxes here, buying and going to the stores here. And that's what, it's a whole different approach than what's ever been. So, yeah, I think it's here to stay. I think if you're going to change any place, as my dad used to say, first off, you change it with your youth. So if we give people a place to live and do, everything else will follow and you can rebuild with your youth.
Now, there are some people outside of there who might say, why put so much investment in a place that had its chance? People made money off coal. They didn't have to go and get addicted to drugs and leave their kids in the hands of their grandparents. Why do we have to help a place like Welch?
Nadia Johnson, Communities in School Coordinator, Mount View High School, Welch, West Virginia.
Because look at me. Me, for instance, I came from McDowell County. I am a success story. I'm not somebody who at that time was a coal miner or had any dealings with that. I was just born into this. I was born into a place that everybody left and just left it dead and didn't plant seeds for them to grow next. That's what I was left to deal with. And that's what everybody, well, majority of the people there, especially the children, are left to deal with. A child can't say, well, I'm packing up and I'm leaving and I'm going to New York or I'm going to California or I'm going here or there. At the end of the day, everybody that's in Welch or McDowell County in general, we are still humans trying to live life like everybody else with the lack of resources that we have. Instead of leaving, like I initially thought, and like a lot of people think and do, I feel like us coming back to serve and coming back to plant seeds in an area that we have let wither and go dry. At this point, it's time to quit looking for the grass that's greener on the other side and actually plant seeds, water those seeds in the area that is to most people outside looking in that's dead. I think we need to appreciate the newness that is coming. Old Welch is gone. There's not going to no longer be an old Welch or an old McDowell County. That is in the past. We are no longer going back to that. We can't time travel. And I think it's time for us to embrace the newness and the newness as it comes.
Reconnecting McDowell is a long and complicated story, which we have only touched on here. Think of the name Gail Manchin, though, and it's hard not to think of her husband, West Virginia Senator Joe. While federal programs like Medicare and Medicaid literally made it possible for elder residents of McDowell to stay where they were and survive, as we've seen, Joe Manchin opposed expanding things like the child tax credit. And along with every Republican in the Senate and one other Democrat, he opposed the Build Back Better program, which would have sent thousands to families and workers and teachers and this place through programs like paid pre-K and childcare, and incentivizing fossil fuel companies to transition to producing green fuel. Joe Manchin said all of those things were inflationary, which has me thinking about that word. Inflation, it's bad for profits and for prices, but for people, their sense of themselves and their possibilities in a place like McDowell, it might be just what we need. So maybe inflation is a word we need to snatch back and redefine. Let's reinflate.
For more information on this week's guests, along with a selected reading list and links to related episodes to explore in our archives, go to patreon.com/theLF Show. And don't forget, as a Patreon partner, you get early access to all of our full uncut conversations and other web exclusives. Our Patreon partners support this free podcast with a contribution of whatever size every month. Thanks to their support and yours, we're able to get stories like today's labor story for May Day into millions of listeners and viewers' homes on public television and radio and right here as a podcast for free. Your support is crucial. Become a Patreon monthly supporting partner at patreon.com/theLF Show. And a big thanks to our latest Patreon partner, DB, and all of you out there. You are a vital part of our ecosystem, which is what makes this show possible. Go to our website, lauraflanders.org, for even more options on how to help out. Stay kind, stay curious. Till the next time, I'm Laura.